We could sing about it and sing about it and sing about it. He's so good to us. Let me get my Bible open here and we will get started. Hallelujah. Everybody doing well tonight?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Those watching online, we're glad you're here tonight. We just have an expectation that God is going to speak to us through His Word. I've said this before, but I believe it with all of my heart, that anytime we open the Word of God, we're in His presence. Because, you know, in John chapter 1, He said that, you know, the Word was with us. The Word was God. He was made flesh, dwelt among us. So the whole point is the Word is alive. Jesus is with us. He's in us. Come on. And so when we get in to start reading His Word, it's absolutely imperative that we believe that we're actually reading into what God has said and what God has for us. Amen? And tonight, last week we taught, if you remember, on Acts chapter 2 and the sermon of Peter. And I was meditating on that and I was thinking about, you know, that Jesus is throughout the whole Bible. He's in the Scriptures. Can I have this mic brought down just a little bit? It's kind of ringing a little bit. So here's the point, is that if Jesus is in the Old Testament, if prophecies about Him were written, then we need to know where they are and what it is so that we can just see the miracle that is in the Bible, right? I want to start out with this. This isn't in the notes. I had 53 scriptures that they had to find tonight. So we probably won't get all of that tonight. But listen to this out of Luke. It says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. And then He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophet and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures. That's what we want tonight. Lord, open our minds so that we can understand the Scriptures. Let's see Jesus throughout the Bible. Now, I just want to give you one statistic that I heard. And it was a man who was into statistics, and he said this. He said, the possibilities of one man fulfilling like 8 scriptures, you know, that were written about him, and one man fulfilling all 8 of those, it was equivalent to taking a quarter and marking it special and then filling the full state of Texas up with quarters up to hip high and him walking into Texas and picking that one quarter that was specially marked. So the miracle of Jesus and the miracle of the Bible is, and the proof that Jesus is who He said He was, is that He was in the Old Testament and fulfilled so many scriptures concerning Him. I forget the right number of scriptures, but it's just an enormous amount. And what we're going to look at tonight, or we're going to start looking at it, are just a few places where He's mentioned in the Old Testament and then seeing in the New Testament where it was fulfilled. I just think that's awesome and wonderful and so cool. So let's start out in Genesis. That's a good place to begin. Are you with me? In Genesis and chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And many of you are familiar with the Bible. This is the story of when God spoke to Abraham. But we want to see that in the light of what I'm talking about tonight. In verse 3, He says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, if you think about that, was He talking about just the physical nation that would come from Abraham? Yes and no. he was basically speaking of the seed of Abraham that would come as Jesus manifest in the flesh. And through that manifestation, we're all blessed. So we're going to be going back and forth tonight. So have your Bibles ready and your fingers fast or your phone fast. But go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And again, remember Jesus spent time with them and he opened the scriptures to them. And on the road to Emmaus, when he met with the disciples that were walking, and he kind of hid himself, and he said, this is my version now. What are you guys talking about? Why are you so sad? He said, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard about Jesus? What? Don't you know what just happened? And he's talking with them, and it says as they were going along, he began to speak to them about the scriptures and open their mind to the scriptures concerning himself. And then he said, it's me. And the people that were with them, you know, the two guys, they started talking, and one of them said to the other one, said, man, didn't you realize that even when he was talking, our hearts were burning with on the inside of us? Meaning that, man, this is true, this is right, this is amazing. And when you're in a position where the anointing is flowing and you're really receiving what God has for you, there's a connection that comes, and it's like, oh Lord, this is awesome. This is not just a speech. This is not just a presentation, but this is your heart speaking through somebody to somebody else. And it's all the power of the scripture. And so looking in Acts chapter 3 and verse 25, Acts chapter 3, and verse 25. Hallelujah. He says this, and you are sons of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. See, this was the prophecy that was fulfilled, and Jesus is pointed out as the one who fulfilled it. Isn't that awesome? So again, when we're looking in the Old Testament, we're seeing some of these prophecies and their fulfillment, we can just kind of go, that's incredible, right? And again, somebody said, well, you've never seen Jesus. How do you know he's risen from the dead? How do you know he is who he said he was? Well, let me just tell you. Here's the scriptures that were prophesied about him, and here's where they were fulfilled. And in that, and the statistical analysis of that, the shot of him doing just 8 are astronomical, but I'm going to show you many more than just 8, right? And if they're honest with themselves, to say, at least they go, wow, that's kind of cool. Right? But this is who we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus. And Jesus is in all of the books of the Old Testament. There's something written about Jesus through every page. Why? Because again, he was the Word. Let me read that to you out of John chapter 1. This is out of the New English. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. The Word was God in the beginning. All things were created by him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. And then if you go down to verse, let's see, I think it's 70. Oh, I'm not finding it. Verse 14, it says, now the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth who came from the Father. Again, speaking of Jesus, Jesus is the Word. Jesus was the Word. So he was the Word in Genesis. He was the Word in Exodus. He was the Word in all of the prophets. He was the Word all throughout. From Genesis to Revelation, he was the Word. And tonight, I just want to give us a taste of that picture and how the thread runs all the way through the Bible. Come on, is that good? right? I want to strengthen us. I want us to get this understanding. So back in, Genesis chapter 17, and again, we're going to be flipping back and forth. I don't want to miss any that the guys worked so hard to get down either. Yeah, they said, did you just quote the whole Bible tonight or what? In Genesis chapter 17, and verse 19, it says, then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his descendants after him. Now go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. See all of these things, talking about Jesus and speaking to him. This is just awesome. Romans chapter 9 and verse 7 says this. It says, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. And what this is speaking of is that Abraham had a son that was of the flesh, right? And Hagar, you know, and his son Ishmael, it was of the flesh, but that's not the way the blessing, that's not the way the seed was going to come. It was going to come through the seed of Isaac, the seed of promise. And Jesus is the seed that came down. It was through Abraham, through Isaac, through that promise, and Jesus is the one that fulfilled that. Again, in verse 7, it says, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. In other words, it's not of the flesh, but it's that son of promise through the Spirit. And it was speaking of Jesus. Back to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. This is a little harder one-handed. Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to look at verse 14. The scripture says, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and the north and the south, and in you and in your seed, it doesn't say seeds, it says seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Shall be blessed. Okay, and then go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. I don't know if you find this interesting. I find it just fascinating. Luke chapter 3 and verse 34, it says, the son of Jacob, it is talking about Jesus' lineage, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son, and it goes through the lineage, and it's speaking that Jesus was of this lineage, and both in Luke and in Matthew, it traces the lineage of Jesus coming down from Abraham. And it's proof that Jesus qualified to be of the Messiah. And it's really interesting, if you read the Gospels, some of the elders and some of the teachers, they go, oh, this, he can't be the Messiah. He, you know, could anything good come out of Nazareth? Or he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem, and they didn't know the full story. But as we're going to see, Jesus fulfilled every scripture that was talked about the Messiah. Here's the thing that they didn't understand. I'm not really going to get into that too much. Is the Messiah was twofold. Jesus, the Messiah, one side of it was he was going to restore all men to God. The other one, he was going to conquer the world so that the world would fall under the hand of God. He did the first one while he was here the first time. He's coming back very soon to do the second. Right? That's so good. And he came as a lamb. I love this. He came as a lamb the first time, but he's coming back as the lion. Right? And the enemy is finally going to be put completely under our feet. Hallelujah. Back to Genesis and chapter 49. 49 and verse 10. This might be faster, guys, if you just keep ahead of me just a little bit or when I quote them, and so I can just look up here and read them. Hallelujah. Is that it right there? It says, "And the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be obedience of all people." That's Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. Now go with me to Luke chapter 3 again. Luke chapter 3 and verse 33. It doesn't quite line up. I messed that one up. Let's go to the next one. 2 Samuel chapter 2. I'll have to check that out. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Hallelujah. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 and 13.
There
you go. "When your days are fulfilled, you rest with your fathers. I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body and will establish his kingdom." Now flip to Matthew chapter 1. In verse 1, and it talks about the book of the genealogy of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And again, what it's showing is that Jesus came from the physical lineage that was required for him to be the Messiah. That's the point of all of these scriptures so far, is to point out that Jesus was of the lineage and he was the seed that was spoken of through the prophets and through Moses about being the very seed from the Son of God. And remember, Adam and Eve fell and God turned to the serpent. He said, "Look it, the seed of the woman is going to be crush you under her heel." And what he was saying, he didn't say the seed of Adam. He said the seed of Eve. Why was that so important? Because the seed comes from the Father. And the Father was not going to be an earthly father. The seed was going to come from the Heavenly Father. And we know that Mary was born of the seed of the Spirit. And again, that's so critical and so important. Why is the virgin birth so critical? Because Jesus had to be a spotless lamb without blemish, meaning that he could have no sin attached to him. And our earthly fathers, because we come from Adam, we have the stain of sin on our lives because of his original sin. And so Jesus broke that because Mary was the mother, but God the Father was the Father. Right? And so that was prophesied back in early Genesis, and it was fulfilled when the angel... Just think about that for a minute. You're a young girl, a virgin girl, about 13 or 14, maybe 15 years old, and you get this angelic visitation. What's going on? And the angel says, "You're blessed, you're highly favored." Guess what? you're going to be impregnated. And she goes, I don't even know a man. I've never known a man. How could that possibly be? And the angel said, the seed that's coming to you is from the Holy Spirit. What? Right? What? And think about this. She had to go to Joseph. Hey, Joseph, I know we're going to get married, but I need to tell you I'm pregnant. Huh? But I've never been with a man. Some young girls are still trying to play that out, but it was true in her case because she was the seed of the woman. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Hallelujah. Yep, Isaiah chapter 7, I'm sorry, and verse 14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Again, this was prophesied in the book of Hosea, right? No, that's Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, and it was fulfilled in Luke chapter 2. I think that's the reference, or whatever we have for the reference of the New Testament. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Go ahead and put that up. It says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. This Isaiah, who was a prophet, spoke this. And I'm sure, like many of us with the Bible, at times we just read over the words, right? They're going, This must be some sort of allegory. This must be some sort of metaphor. Really, could this be possible? But it was absolutely possible. And it happened just the way it was prophesied. So powerful. And again, the significance of it is that he had to be born that way. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1 says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Again, this is all prophecy about Jesus. And it was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. They're going to pull that up. Hallelujah. And he arose and he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And there he was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I call my son. Think about this again. Virgin born. And just at the right time, out to Egypt. Why? Because he had to fulfill the prophecy that he came from Egypt. Amazing. Incredible. Don't get ahead of me. All right. Don't get ahead of me. All right. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Micah 5, 2. It says, but you, Bethlehem, though you are a little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, whose goings forth are from of old and everlasting. And again, go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 4 and 6. See, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And this is Herod, because he didn't want this other king to come. And so he said, verse 6 says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are the least among the rulers of Judah, and out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So this was prophesied in the Old Testament, but fulfilled by Jesus. Now we've come with a few. We're not done. You know, there's plenty more to come. But what I'm telling you is the odds of Jesus fulfilling all of these and one man fulfilling these perfectly is astronomically impossible, but with God all things are possible because God knows the beginning from the end. What I'm trying to build inside of you is confidence in what God has said. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It doesn't say seeds. It says seed, singular. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Get that picture. And he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And first, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Talking about Jesus way back in the beginning of Genesis, he's prophesied about, but he fulfilled that. And I want you to know that he's under our feet too. If you look at Romans chapter, and we're not going to turn there, but Romans chapter 6, 16, and I think it's 16, he just says he's under our feet. He's under our feet. Glory to God. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5. Exodus 12 and verse 5. Aren't the guys, they're doing a great job. Hallelujah. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, that you may take it from the sheep from among the goats. And this is, again, the law of Moses describing what it's going to take for a lamb to be able to be accepted as the sacrifice for sin of the year. Don't worry about it. If you don't get all these scriptures, we can fax you some of them to go back. But the point is that we need to understand just how Jesus fulfilled all of these. All right? So we're going to Hebrews chapter 9 now. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, he said to Moses, you got to have a lamb and it's got to be just perfect. You can't have any spots because it won't be accepted unless it's purified. And then Jesus fulfilled that and it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ? See, come on. In the Old Testament it was talked about, but he fulfilled it in the New Testament. Oh, that's so good. It's so awesome. Hallelujah. Psalms, let's see, or is that where we're at? Yeah, Psalms 8, verses 5 and 6. Psalms 8, verses 5 and 6. It says, for you have made him a little lower than angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. And you have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, this is so awesome. This is so awesome. You see, we can have credibility and have assurance that the Bible is true and that Jesus fulfilled these prophecies. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subject to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or son of man that you should take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and set him over all the works of